It's good to be back again. Sorry to miss Pastor Mark, but hopefully he'll have a blessed Sunday too. I was here, I think maybe 3 months, two, three, four, five. I was here a couple of months ago. So, let me just say that. So, okay, January. Pastor Mark graciously allowed me to come again. We had lunch last week, and it's good to be able to just sit with another pastor and chat and see what the Lord is doing. So thank you for the opportunity to be with you guys again. Love Messiah, and had a lot to do with Messiah when I was still pastoring at Harvest Renewal Church, the church that I used to pastor at. So fond memories of being here and everything that has been done through the Lord here at Messiah. So thank you for this opportunity. My son Nathan over there, my wife Tiffany, we are honored and blessed to be here. Thank you very much. Pastor Mark just asked if I would say something on the prison ministry that I do. So actually last month we had our annual, we have a baptism service at the Chesterfield County Jail. So we go into prisons as well, but the prisons are Sunday nights. We've just been asked to go into the Greenville Center of Corrections, and that will be on a Sunday morning. But for now, Sunday nights, we have church, and our church is streamed into all 42 prisons in Virginia, all 42. So that's an amazing blessing. But every week on a Wednesday afternoon, we do what is called a HARP, H-A-R-P. It's called Helping Addicts Recover Progressively. So the HARP program in the Chesterfield County Jail. And once a year we have a baptism service for the men and women in jail that have received the Lord and want to get baptized and give their life to God. So that was last month we had this. So these pictures are just from that. So the sheriff there, he's in one of the pictures here, I'll show you, but he allows us, as you can see there, there's the band from church. I visit a church now called the Chapel, and this is who the program is in. So the sheriff, bless his heart, he's amazing. He, there he is, Sheriff Leonard, that's him over there. That guy over there, funny story, while our pastor was preaching, they had to open the door and let the door open, and he came in, and Sheriff actually stopped our pastor from preaching, and he said, listen, I just have to tell you why this guy is late. It's very rude to interrupt you, and you know, I have to stop everything, but in the morning, he had finished his sentence. He was done, so he was a free man. So he left. When they come in or leave, they leave out the back door. So he had finished his sentence. He had done his time, paid his dues to society. He left through the back door. And what a lot of these guys or ladies do is when they finish and they're free, they either go to McDonald's or Burger King and just, you know, pig out on whatever food they can because jail food is not good. But he went out the back door, a free man, went to the front and came in the front door again and walked into the jail to come to be baptized that same day. That's why he was late, because they had to, you know, sign him out and do all of those things, and it takes a long time. But eventually in the afternoon, because the service started at about 2, so at about 3 when we were busy, they let him back in. And then he was truly, I was joking, free at last, free at last. He was free to come back in through the front door, walk upstairs and to be baptized. So that's just, the sheriff is amazing how he allows that. There's the sheriff over there hugging one of the men, CJ, who was in the program before, finished his time, left, went to stay in the home that we provide for the men, and slipped up again. And now that he's back and got rearrested, you know, back into the program, maybe about 2 weeks before we had the baptism service, he just wanted to speak to the men in the class. And he was saying, the first time that I was in this program, I said all the right things for the very wrong reasons. I knew what people wanted to hear to let me get out. But as soon as I got out, because I said the right things for the wrong reasons and my motives were not right, I just slipped back into my old ways, got arrested again, and here I am. So this time through speaking to the men in class, he was saying, now having to start the program again with a lot of wisdom, I now say the right things, but for the right reasons. So he was being baptized. He wanted to do that again. So there he is. Here is a guy that was in the program, Gus. The sheriff allows the people that were in the program to come back when we have our class so that they can give their testimony. They can sit in the class. So the sheriff is just absolutely amazing at Chesterfield, what he's allowing. So they're just a couple of pictures of what we do and how our baptism service in jail actually looks like. It's phenomenal. So God is really working there, and it is wonderful. I don't know if any of you have the Wall Street Journal or if you subscribe to that, but 3 weeks ago in the Wall Street Journal, there was actually an entire article on this program. In the Wall Street Journal. Being the Wall Street Journal, they said nothing about the spiritual side of the program. They were just saying, people are getting free, the recidivism is down, you know, this is how they're doing it, and this is the money that is being saved, because people are now not coming back. But there was nothing about God and Jesus and the spiritual side of the program, because when the men and women come into the program, the very, very, very first class that they walk in, we tell them, if you miss the spiritual side of this program, you miss everything. 12-step program, NA, you know, all of those things, they have good points. But if you miss Jesus in this HARP program, you're going to miss everything. There are very, very few people who do not have Jesus that can overcome the addiction that has landed you in this jail. So, but as I say, Wall Street Journal did not mention any of that, so we know why, but the program is so successful that they actually had a whole article on that. So praise God for that, because the people in jail, the people who run it, the men and women who are there, they know why. We don't have to hear. We know it's Jesus. So let's see how this goes. I already gave some wrong verses, and I went to a chapter and verse that was not in the Bible, so we were looking for verses there that did not exist, so hopefully this goes a bit better. But we'll see. Last time I was here, I spoke about being a brick or being a living stone. Is anyone here that was not here the last time I spoke about the bricks? There are a couple of people. Okay. So basically what we were discussing is the enemy tries to force you into becoming a brick, and God has created you to be a living stone. The enemy wants you to be a brick. A brick, just like anyone else, fits in perfectly. Looks the same, is made from the same stuff, makes the same buildings, very, very boring, no different than anyone else. But God has not called us to be bricks. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, it says basically, like Christ, who was the cornerstone. Oh, there we are. Oh, amazing. Wow. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Look here. You also, as living stones, being built up as a spiritual house. You also, as living stones. You are created a living stone to be placed next to someone, to be placed above someone, to be placed under someone, and together when all of the living stones come together and we find our place, we are building a spiritual home. We are now the body of Christ. We are the church. Holy Spirit dwells in us. That's who we are. You were designed by God to be a stone and not a brick. So we discussed that. And today I want to take that a little bit further and go a little bit deeper into that, because the kingdom that we are after, the kingdom that we desire. You know, when John the Baptist came, the first words out of his mouth was, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. When Jesus came, the first thing that Jesus spoke was, repent because the kingdom of God is here. It is at hand. You do not have to wait. You and I are not a generation that has to look to the future and hope and believe and see with eyes of faith the kingdom coming, because we are living in the kingdom age. And if we don't understand that, we will work and we will put our energy and our time together to build church instead of kingdom. There's a big difference. It's all about repent for the kingdom. Repent meaning change your mind. You have to think a different way. All the people in the old covenant, they were thinking one way. Jesus, John comes along and they say, now you from here on out, the kingdom is here and you have to change the way you think. So we as living stones cannot think the way people in days of old thought. Therefore, Romans 12, 1 and 2, specifically verse 2, you have to renew your mind so that you can prove the will of God. Have you ever stumbled upon the will of God? Every now and then something happened and it was, my good, that was God. It could only be God. People say, how did you do it? I don't know. It was just God. It happened. That's not God's will. The Bible says if we renew our mind, we can prove God's will. So it's wonderful to stumble on something happens and we say, well, that was the hand of God. But how much better would it be if we can prove the will of God so that people can see God's love, God's plan, God's purpose for you and I and for man. So that's where we're going today. So the kingdom does not expand or take ground or enlarge through information. Have you realized how much information there is around us today? Yet at the very same time, there's very little revelation. A lot of information. Kingdom doesn't grow through information. Because everything that I'm telling you today, you could have found in your Bible. You could have found in the Wall Street Journal. I'm not going to give you information that you can't find anywhere. So us sitting here today receiving information is not going to grow the kingdom of God. It's not. And how many people, I ask myself, go to church Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Wednesday, and leave after they have received information, but do not allow the information to change into transformation. Information, just hearing, receiving, not doing anything with that is no good in terms of growing the body of Christ. So last time we spoke about we are a living stone. Did I take that message? Did I go home? Did I pray to God about what kind of a stone am I? Did I take that information that Holy Spirit spoke and did I get with God concerning that information? So I didn't just receive information, but I took the information and now I've translated that into revelation and transformation. So now I know I'm a stone. This is what a stone does. Very different to a brick. Now that you've done that, and I hope you haven't, if you haven't, get with him and ask. I have to find out I am now a certain living stone, because I have to find the stones that I need to slot next to so that we can come together and build this spiritual house. But when you build a house specifically with stones, not brick, because the brick you can put anywhere, they all look the same, they fit everywhere. But stones, not so much. It's almost like this wall over here. These are not all the same length, different kinds of wood. You specifically had to go find a piece that fits next to the piece next to it. And if you took the wrong piece and you put it anywhere, that would not look as nice as it does. The wall would not be as sturdy as it is. You have to find the perfect place for this piece of wood, for this living stone, to slot into the perfect place next to another living stone. And when those stones come together, now the house can be built. So I've heard many, many times, and I probably also used to believe it or heard it. Have you heard parents say, maybe you've said it yourself to their children because we have good hearts, my dear child, you can be anything you want to be. Have you heard that? Not according to the Bible. Not according to the Word of God. God specifically says, he talks about, Paul countless times writes about the body of Christ, a building, a living. If you are an eye and you are trying to be an ear, oh boy, the body's not going to work. If you are a small pinky on the left foot and you are trying to be the thumb on the right hand, the body is not going to work. So you have to find out what part of the body you are, and you have to find out where you fit in and who fits in next to you and above you and under you. Because one day when we stand in front of the Master, he's not going to say to someone who was created to be an eye, wow, you were really a good imitation ear. I really, really like the way you followed that guy and his gifts and his call and his purpose and everything I designed for him. And you were a really, really good imitation. I'm so proud of you. Well done. Not going to do that. You're going to stand in front of him as an eye. And he's going to say, how did you help the body see with the gifts and purpose and calls and talents that I gave you? And I think it will be a very, very difficult position standing in front of the Master one day saying, well, I enjoyed that which he had. It looks so much more extravagant. It looks so much more inviting. I called you to be a whatever. So this stone that you and I are, my question is, where in this house do you fit? Are you supposed to be right next to the cornerstone? Are you at the base of the house? Are you somewhere in the roof? Are you on the sides? Are you, using a normal house now? Are you in the kitchen? Are you in the living room? Where do you fit? And if you do not know your place, where you fit as a living stone, life is going to be really, really difficult. Because a whole nother teaching here, there are graces and there are places. And if you are walking outside of your grace, it's just going to be very, very hard for you personally, but it's now also going to make the job of the body of Christ more difficult because now somebody else has to carry the slack of the position that you were supposed to fill and you are just not there. Now other people have to do more because you are not doing what you were supposed to be, and now it becomes difficult. So there is a grace and there is a place that you fit in and that you should walk in, and when you do that, you will be fulfilled and the body of Christ is also going to be doing well. Are we all good so far? Does that make sense? Okay, that's what we discussed a little bit last time. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. I actually did this last week in jail, it was really, really deep. It was really, really hard. I think what we're going to see today is it's going to open our eyes to something that maybe we know, but we're not really 100% aware of it all the time. And sometimes we get caught off guard or offside, and the enemy tackles us and brings us down with something that we already do know, but I believe after today we're going to have a clearer vision of something that is so important. And I pray that Holy Spirit can help us to receive this today, because this is wonderful. This is really good. But it's not one of those messages where you run out, you know, "Ooh, that was amazing. That was great. Yeah, bring that guy back. He lifted us up and we felt so good after he was finished." This is a message that you might walk away thinking, "Oh my goodness, did we really want to hear that?" But we need to hear it if we want to expand the kingdom of God. But as it is written, when you read that, and for the people who don't know me and it's the first time you see me, the Bible in Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. I'm that teacher part. I don't do any of the others. I'm not any of the others. I don't do that, can't do that. Not my gift, not my talent. So I battle doing that. But I enjoy teaching, so like you were at school. But as it is written, where have you seen that before? Where did you get that before? Where does that verse take your mind back to? And there's no wrong answer here. Not a rhetorical question. When you hear, or let me help you. Thank you, sir. The desert. Perfect. 100%. The desert. Jesus in the desert. That's where we're going. Jesus in the desert. We need to get this today. The enemy comes and he tempts him after 40 days of fasting. And the enemy throws what at him? Scripture. The enemy throws the book at Jesus. What does Jesus throw back? The book. Jesus doesn't answer with anger or fury or getting insecure or, you know, he just says, "Satan, it is written." So you coming at me with the word, I'm going to count to you and I'll raise you with the word, because I'm going to use the word in truth. You twisting and you using the word in a way it shouldn't be used. And many Christians today are doing the same thing. Someone uses the word and we throw the word back and we throw the word back. And the word, that's not what it was meant for. But here in Corinthians, it says, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I'm going to ask some questions today. Don't raise your hand, and please do not raise your hand. But have you ever in your life said something in the same vein as this? Don't raise your hand, but have you ever said, "Lord, take my life and do something with it. Lord, use me to bring you glory. Father, I love you and I will do anything for you. Lord, I give myself completely wholly to you. I take my hands off the wheel and I give you control of my life. You lead and guide and direct my steps wherever you want me to go." Have you ever, don't raise your hand, have you ever prayed or said or thought something like that? And when all of us, because we are here and we are good people and we want that, when we prayed that prayer, when we said that to God, do you think God said, "A, thanks, but no, not going to use you, not interested, you're not good enough, don't have enough gifts, don't have the talent, I'm really looking for someone else. Or B, I'm going to use that prayer. I'm going to take that prayer that you just prayed and I'm going to make something with you. A or B? Definitely B. So we come to God and we say, I love you, Lord. Lord Jesus, take my life and do something with me. There's got to be more than this. Show me. I want to know you more. I want to be closer to you. I want to have more understanding and revelation. And Jesus says, yes, amen. Let's do it. Let's go. You asked me, I'll answer. So according to this verse over here, and this verse, we won't go into both sides, but it could be seen in two different ways. But I want to tell you that according to this verse over here, that there will come a time in your life. There will be a circumstance. There will be a situation in your life that will appear, that will come up as certain as this is the word of God. And hear me now, that you cannot go to another human being and ask for help, for wisdom, for the next step, for understanding, for revelation. Why do I say that? Because it has not entered into their heart. It hasn't entered into their ear. It hasn't entered into their eye. What God has prepared for you. There's going to come a time in your life where you need to go to God. And the only one that can give you the next step, the only one that can tell you how to go from here, the only one that can tell you how to move forward is God. Because He's the only one that knows your path, your call, your purpose, your destiny. My brother and sister, you are so unique. You are so planned out and put together. You are so special in the eyes of the Lord that there is a call upon your life to be a living stone somewhere in the house of God that no other stone can fit or be. And when you get to a place, because He has prepared something just for you to do, and when you get to that thing and you don't know how to go further, you cannot go to your pastor, you cannot go to the elders, you cannot go to your family, you can't go anywhere, because they're going to see it from their perspective, and this purpose, plan, call, destiny is not in their heart. They have not been given the revelation of your part of the house that you are. So how can they tell you if it's not their revelation what your revelation should be? Does that make sense? That's not fun. Knowing. I'm believing here that some of us have been through this already in our lifetime. Where you've came to a place where, Lord God, Jesus, if you don't come through now, I don't know what's going to happen. But I need to know what is the next step. But you are so called by God. You are so unique. You are so amazing in your gifts and talents that no one else will be able to help you, because it has not entered into nobody's heart. No one has seen this plan, this purpose. No one has heard about it. But God has prepared it for you. And when you need the blueprint of the house, you can only go to the Creator, to the Architect, and find out from Him, where in this house do I fit? I know I fit somewhere. Because throughout your word, everywhere, you tell me I'm a house, I'm a living stone, I'm a holy priesthood, I was called to be spotless and blameless. You have perfected me already in Christ Jesus. I'm seated in heavenly places. But where in this house do I fit, and how do I find my place? And the problem is, when we get to this verse and we don't know where to go, many times we ask people, which is great too. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, in the counsel of many, there's wisdom. But there's only one path for you, and you are a stone, and nobody else has the same place. So that's very, very important. So once again, when you say to God, use me, do something with my life, if Jesus, our Master, our Lord, our Savior, our example, our brother, if he received a word from God concerning his place and what he was called to do, and he had to go through certain things, certain tests, certain trials, certain temptations, Jesus himself, do you really, really, really think that you and I can skip those trials? Do you really, really believe in your heart of hearts that I can receive my place in this living house that's being built together without going through me being a stone and having to fit in certain places and let's try over here, you don't fit well, so we need to chop some of the stone off. And this stone fits over here, so it didn't fit over, so we're going to take it out and we're going to move it over here. Do you really think if Jesus had to go through that testing, that trial, that difficulty, that you and I are going to go through life without going through that? Because if you are, I'm here today to tell you, you are mistaken. There are going to be trials. There are going to be tests. There are going to be things that come along your way. Why? Not because God is against you, but because the enemy doesn't want you to find your place where you fit in the body. Because if he can have you being a lone ranger, or you fit over here, but we're going to put you over there, this house is not going to be as strong, and that's what he's trying to do. So if you go and we can go through, we can sit here till tomorrow morning and we can go through all the people and their lives that we use to preach and teach about. And I will show you where they received the word from the Lord. And as soon as they received that word, this is your place. This is the stone you are. The enemy came and he said, I'm going to test that to see if you really believe what God said about you. And many of us are going through tests and trials, not understanding why, but it's the enemy coming to see, okay, God spoke this over your life. Let's see if you believe it. Because I do, the enemy says, I know if God speaks, that's truth. That's yes and amen. God believes it. The enemy believes it. But he's testing and trying you to see, do you believe it? And if you go through David, you go through Solomon, you go through Adam, you go through Samson, you go through Paul, you go through Peter, you go through every single guy that we use in the Bible, you will see they got a word, and after they got a word, the enemy came to test, do you believe that word? So that's what we're going to look at. What time do we finish? I'm sorry, I will keep you here till tomorrow, but that's not going to be good. What time do we normally... Okay, so 20. Okay. So, we all still good?
We're in no hurry.
Okay. Good. Because we can get in here. Let's turn to the book of Genesis. We'll go to chapter 2. Because get this, while you church, it will be up there. I like to put it this way. God speaks, God can't lie, so whatever he says, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. So whether we believe in prophecy, we believe in this house, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, so someone prophesies over you, that this is the word of the Lord to you. Thus says the Lord. The Lord speaks through the word. God speaks through a dream, through prayer, through whatever. The Lord speaks to you. You receive that word. You get what kind of a stone you are. The voice of God comes and says to you something. This is who you are. Whenever God speaks to you and speaks something over you, somebody else is listening. When I mean somebody else, I'm talking about the devil. I'm talking about the enemy of your soul, the one who hates your guts because you have a relationship with God that he once had, blew it, can never have it again. You can mess up and you forgive and he has no forgiveness. So he hates you. But when God speaks over you and you live by that word, you shall not live by bread, you will live by the word that God speaks over you and says, this is who you are, this is what I've called you to be. This is the stone that you are that fills this house, that fits into this building. The enemy is listening to what God says and speaks over your life. Because he knows God cannot lie. So if God says that over you, that is who you are, that is what you are. God says it, he believes it, I heard it, I believe it, but now I must find out. And I must do everything I possibly can so that you do not believe the word that the Lord has spoken over you. And then he comes with trials, tests, temptations, all these different things, hoping so that through all of these difficult times and things that are happening, that you might just get to a place where it's so difficult and so hard, and God said this, but it's just not working. Been there before? I'm trying so hard. God said this, I'm reading my word, I'm going to church, I'm giving, I'm praying, I'm fasting, but. And the enemy wants to see what happens after your but. Are you going to continue? Are you going to fight for what God said you are, who you are? Or are you going to say, I can't do this anymore, this is too hard. I did pray. I do love God. I did pray, use me, take my life, do something with it. I did give it all to him. But man, I never realized when I prayed that prayer, when I said that I would be facing this. So, I'll go back and I'll just say I did. I tried. I really did. I, honest to God, I gave it my all. But I can't. It's too hard. It's too difficult. That's what the enemy does. When God speaks, he's there. He's listening to hear the word of the Lord over your life.